This is People First Radio On Demand, podcasts, streaming, and MP3 downloads, available when you want to listen at chly.ca, iTunes, and at the People First Radio website.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
Adin Ahmed is the second student brought to Nanaimo through the World University Service of Canada Student Refugee Program, which has helped more than 1,000 young men and women pursue education and resettle in Canada as permanent residents. Adin has just completed a year in business studies at Vancouver Island University. VIU students have played a part by contributing financially to make Adin's education there possible.
And we're joined in the studio by Adin Ahmed and on the phone by Michelle Manx, World University Service of Canada's Student Refugee Program. Welcome to People First Radio, both of you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Michelle, let's start with you. Tell us how this program works.
Well, the Student Refugee Program is an initiative that engages student volunteers on Canadian post-secondary campuses in the sponsorship of refugees. So students are involved in providing financial, social, and academic support to newcomers and providing post-secondary education once they arrive as resettled refugees to Canada.
Adin, how did you become involved in this program?
This program that has been started in Kenya, especially the refugee camps, in 2003. Mainly the program is for students who do well in their high school, in grade 12 Kenya national exam. There's a minimum grade that the student has to meet before he qualifies for the program. So when I did my high school in 2000, high school exam, in 2006, I got the required grade for the program and I applied for the program and did all the tests that's needed for me to come to here. So that's how I involved in the program.
Did you know that you would be coming to Canada? Was that a goal or were you prepared potentially to go to almost any other country?
Actually, when I was in grade 9, that's when the program has almost started in the refugee. And because of my tests and exams, all the result I was getting, I was sure that at the end of my high school, I will have a chance to get that program. And Canada was my dream since when I was in grade 8.
Michelle, what have you heard from the local sponsors of students in this program?
I think what we hear the most from local committee members, which is what we call our student groups on campuses, is that they're inspired by sponsored students, by the challenges they've faced and how far they've come and how well they do in school when they come. As well as they're happy to be able to see the results of the efforts that they put into the program.
What have you heard from students themselves as they've gone through this initiative?
I think something that resonates frequently is that sponsored students say that they were happy just to be given the opportunity to pursue their education because what they were lacking really was that opportunity, not the skills to be able to go to post-secondary school, but really just to have a chance to continue on with their lives after being displaced by conflict.
I'm wondering if there's any information that is important, let's say the kind of ABCs of any institution or local group that is interested in providing a sponsorship. What are the most important things for them to know?
I would say that anyone can become a refugee and that anyone's life can be put on hold as a result of conflict. And it's a temporary state, hopefully, and that the Student Refugee Program provides that opportunity for them to pursue their education.
This is People First Radio on CHLY, across the islands and streaming online at chly.ca.
Whether due to war or political repression, students are often persecuted, imprisoned, or forced into exile, joining the ranks of the world's estimated 16 million refugees and asylum seekers. They have virtually no opportunity for post-secondary education. World University Service of Canada has helped more than 1,000 of these capable young men and women to resettle in Canada as permanent residents and to pursue their education in an environment free of violence and fear. We're joined in the studio by Adan Ahmed, who is studying business at Vancouver Island University, and on the phone by Michelle Manx of World University Service of Canada's Student Refugee Program.
Adan, what has life been like for you in Nanaimo over the past year?
Life is totally different from where I came from because everything was new here because I was brought up in a refugee setup, which is a kind of rural area where there's no power, and we had to use everything, all the traditional ways. But being involved in organization working, because I work with the UNHCR, which is in charge of the refugees, for 4 years before I came here, so I was accessed to some of most of the things I find here, but life is totally different, especially how people behave, how people dress, and the food and the climate and everything was different for the first month, which was a challenge, and I end up having culture shock, and which would it have not been the support from the host committee, the committee from VIU, it would have been very, very hard for me. So I had some those challenges for the first 4 months, but I overcome through my hard work and the support from the WOS committee, especially the two co-chair ladies who are here, Laura, who moved to South Africa, and Katie, who is currently a VIU student.
What's it like to go through culture shock? What does it feel like? How did it impact you to have that culture shock?
A culture shock is something that the person feeling can only understand, but to explain to someone is really very hard. You mean, okay, when you have a culture shock, you cannot say, I have culture shock. It will have a kind of depression and stress, and you may think that you have other problems or you are sick, or you may say, oh, I have malaria, which is common in Kenya, which is like what happened to me. So you cannot explain to the person, but you feel internally and you will be very tired all the time. You will hate everything around you. You will not like going to school and like your room. You will not like even going back to your room and all that stuff.
Michelle, what have you heard, what have you experienced in terms of speaking with students who have gone through similar experiences? What is the culture shock experience all about?
It's funny, one of the first things that we hear is about the weather. I guess depending on what part of the country you're being welcomed at, and the food are the things that stand out. Even after many months, those are some of the things that stand out. And then another thing that's important to our sponsored students is the educational system is so different than it may be in Kenya, where they have gone to school, or in Malawi, or from their home countries.
I'm wondering if there's any specific supports that are available through your organization or through the work that you do that are available. Do you train the local hosts, or do they phone you up and say, we need some help because somebody that we're dealing with is having a hard time?
Well, we have staff here that help support all of the welcoming groups, but we also do trainings twice a year, once in August and once in November, where we invite members of every local committee across the country to come and receive training. And we also do online training with them. But another important aspect of the training is that we provide training to the sponsored students who are in the refugee camps themselves. So we work with partners overseas to deliver kind of pre-departure modules to help better prepare the students for their experience in Canada, for the education that they'll receive in Canada, and to tell them a bit more about the culture.
Adan, you've already experienced culture shock. You've described some of your experiences, and I guess almost a year has gone by since you arrived in Nanaimo. What are some of the current challenges that you're facing right now? What's going on in your life right now?
Currently, I think I'm almost done with all the challenges I will have faced, but now I see myself like adjusted to the environment and to the way of life and to the university, which is when you first come, you'll have like we do a TOEFL, which is test of English as a foreign language. But as you can hear now, my pronunciation is different from your pronunciations. And when you first come, like because of the diversity of Canadian people, like everybody has his own accent, and sometimes if you are not accessed to diverse people back at home, you'll be having a problem with the professors understanding some of them. But those are not big issue with me because I work with people from international background and all that. So currently, I don't have like much challenges, but the challenge that everybody, every Somali refugee student sponsored will have is that internal wound that the person have. Like if you have one of your fingers burning, you cannot go to bed. What I hear back at home and what's going on in Somalia and all those things make me always to be sad, despite I live in a very comfortable life, which I've been dreaming for. I don't feel that my life is complete. I still feel the pain that these people are facing. So currently, that's the major challenge I'm facing.
And I think that you have some future plans as well. I've read in the article that was written about you that you want to help in some larger way. Tell us about your future plans, some of your goals for the future.
From the beginning, when I finished my high school, I like to volunteer and support people and work with international organization. I started volunteering in 2008 when I found that the only secondary school supported by UNHCR, which could only accommodate 120 students, could not absorb all the students, who are 500 students every year. So 380 students had to go back to the market. So with the community leaders, we came with that idea of establishing that community secondary school. And then we came up with the community secondary school, which currently have 800 students. And then the money and the support for the school comes from the WSCU students from everywhere in Canada. So my plan is to work with the international organizations, and because I was brought up in a refugee setup, I can understand how it is very painful to be a refugee. So I understand, to me, I think I have the plan how I can help, like always working with the international organizations because I have first-hand information. So after I finished my school, despite I'm a Canadian, I don't feel like staying in Canada or just and relax and sit in an office and then do my stuff and get the paycheck. But I just would like to go to countries where there are problems and to help the refugees, and that's my plan. And to succeed with that plan, in addition to one of the, I'm doing two degrees in VIU, accounting and international business. So the international business will help me to know what's going outside internationally. So yeah.
I want to thank you, Adnan, and also you, Michelle, for taking the time to join us on our broadcast today. Best of luck to both of you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Adnan Ahmed studies business at Vancouver Island University. He arrived in Canada last year and is a participant in World University Service of Canada's Student Refugee Program. Michelle Manx is a senior program officer with World University Service of Canada. You can find out more about this program online at wusc.ca.
This is a People First Radio podcast. People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Center Society in partnership with Radio Malaspina Society and produced at CHLY Community Radio in Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed in this interview do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the partnering organizations. Visit us online. Just Google People First Radio to find our webpage.